the wilderness. It was as if he was carried there by the Spirit. In other words, being driven and bound by the Spirit in that relationship is the result of a lot of other little things that you have walked with him. It is not the beginning. It's the usually the end result of your walk with the Holy Spirit to a certain degree. And it's a long, long way to that stage. A long, long way to that stage. I have seldom seen people driven by the Spirit in those days. In modern days. A few examples when I've been in meetings together with some other evangelists, and for a very strange reason, it is like, what is it to be driven? It is like the Spirit literally pulling you, and you could feel like some force, someone pulling you for some reason. When the Spirit pulls you to that, in a particular meeting that I saw, Spirit pulling a person to a particular area, and there was a person by the very name in which the Holy Spirit has already given a word of knowledge. And so, it's like the Lord gave a word of knowledge for Paul, and then the Holy Spirit drove the evangelist to the point to the person who was named Paul and pulled the person up. That is, I think, very significant, walking very closely with the Spirit. And it doesn't begin there. It begins that you purpose in the Spirit first, and then the Spirit trusts you. Let me point out again to illustrate what it is like in the Spirit. The wind can be blowing very strong. Let's take the parable of the umbrella. Right? Parable of the umbrella. Right? We've got a lot of parables. We've got the parable of the bathtub, the parable of the umbrella. Now, the parable of the umbrella is, if you have a strong wind blowing, and you open the umbrella, you feel for a moment, when the umbrella opens, especially when the wind catches the umbrella, and it's a strong wind, that for a moment it looks like it's going to pull your umbrella away. And you've got to pull your umbrella back. And of course, if it's too strong, you'll be like Mary Poppins, right? Somewhere else. But the fact is this, if you didn't open the umbrella, you wouldn't have felt that strength of the wind. You could have just felt, yes, it's a strong wind, but your whole body and being would not be feeling the reaction. So something needs to open, like you being in a sailboat, and the wind is blowing. No matter how strong the wind, you don't actually utilize the energy. But the moment you put up the sail, zoom, you begin going forth, because the wind carries you. So there is a part where we initiate certain relationships with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, being a gentleman, will not drive you. You see, the driving depends on a surface area in which he could blow upon, like the sail or the umbrella. And so that surface area is produced as we walk with the Holy Spirit a little bit at a time, and more of our life is yielded. Our life and our will becomes yielded to him. And that brings us to the practical application part. How do we open our lives up to the Holy Spirit so that our life is like the sail in which the Holy Spirit can blow upon? If our sail is not hoisted, the Spirit can blow by and everyone can say, I felt the Spirit, and you say, well, I don't feel him. Doesn't seem to be there. We have to have the handshake with the Holy Spirit first, before the Spirit can drive you. Have to shake hands with the Holy Spirit. Have to know the Holy Spirit as a person. So these are the little questions we ask. Number one, can you recognize his impressions. The Holy Spirit puts little impressions upon our lives. Little stirrings in the spirit. Right? Quickly give you those little verbs that are found in the Bible. Little impressions that are there. Let's look at one area here. In the book of Acts, in Paul's life, chapter 18, verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit. So something was stirring. There was not necessarily any voice, but something was stirring on his inside. Something was stirring on the inside to do something, to flow somewhere. And these impressions are guided by two laws. The law of grieving and the law of quenching, which are the two extremes. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So on one side you're told not to quench, on the other side you're told not to grieve. What is the difference? To quench the Spirit is to choose not to do what He asks you to do. So it's like pouring cold water on a hot fire. You just smother it. To grieve the Spirit is to do what He never asked you to do. So you overstep your boundaries. He didn't ask you to do it, you do it on your own. You grieve the Spirit. On the opposite side, He asks you to do it and you choose not to do it, you quench Him. So these are the boundaries that He draws. Within those boundaries, learning not to do what the Spirit never asks us to do and learning to obey what the Spirit tells us to do is being sensitive to His little impressions that He placed upon our inside. In some translation, it translates the word as that Paul's spirit hit there in Old King James is pressed. In some translations, it's stirred. In mine, it's compelled. They're having difficulty translating the Greek word, obviously. But what we can say is there's some sort of impression and stirring towards performance. And if Paul didn't obey, it would be quenching the Spirit. But there's a stirring on our side. It's not a voice, but it's what I describe to be a tangible sensation. A tangible sensation. And each one of us will sense it slightly differently. That is why there's no set pattern which you could measure on. I can only help you by describing how some others experience it. Some people experience it like a warming of the heart. Luke chapter 24, the two disciples on the way to Emmaus says, didn't our hearts warm when the Spirit, when He was talking to us about all those of God's Word? So, some experience it as warming of the heart. Some experience it as a stirring which takes away their ability to just sit down and be quiet. So different people will experience it differently. Some as a warming, some as an actual stirring. Like something stirring on your inside. And there could be many more different experiences because each one of us is different and the same work of the Spirit inside each one of us comes out differently. And we feel it differently. We taste it differently. And that causes it. The principle behind it is that He does stir in our hearts. We just need to learn to recognize it. That's all. In our own way. A stirring of the Spirit. And to help you identify it, you know how sometimes you get up and you have a desire to sing certain songs? it just comes to you and you don't know where the sounds come from. That's a little bit like the Spirit stirring you and leading you into a worship area. Or sometimes there's an impression to look at certain passages of the Bible, reading certain passages of the Bible, or look in different areas. Or sometimes there's an impression to call someone out to share with them about the Lord. These are the little things. These are little impressions, the little stirring. And then we learn how to handshake with Him, learn how to walk with Him. The next level up is to hear His voice. Philip heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts when he was standing in the crossroads. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, told him to stand at the crossroads. And in Acts 8 verse 29, as you're standing at the crossroads with a lot of things passing by, how will he know what to do? He has to learn to hear the Spirit. In verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip. So the people in the Bible can hear the Spirit talking. And he is not the only one. In fact, when Peter was praying regarding Cornelius, and he was called there, and he had a funny vision while he was praying on a rooftop or housetop in Acts chapter 10. In his mind, he was wondering, what could all these things mean? While he was thinking about these things, in Acts 10, verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him. You notice that? The Spirit said to him. Obviously, the people in the Bible can recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. They can hear when the Spirit speaks. So our next question is, can you hear the voice of the Spirit? I mean, we say that the Holy Spirit is there for us. Can we hear Him? And then your question back would be, what is the voice like? Which leads us back to the Bible. Thank you for asking that silent question. Which will answer for you now. In John, Gospel of John, it gives us a clue to what His voice is like. In John chapter 16, verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. We also have the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, there is a little clue there in verse 26 of John 14. How is the voice of the Holy Spirit like? Most people hear it like a little thought arising from their inside. You notice in verse 26 it says, He will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth? Which He is. The thing I want to encourage you is, He is already speaking to your life, except we may not realize it was Him. You know how sometimes you sit in a service and the preacher can be preaching along certain lines, but you get thoughts regarding certain lines that the preacher never touched on. One or two words touch on something and it goes on to something else, but in your mind it goes on to something else. Somebody on your inside is leading you into all truth. That's Him. That's Him. And sometimes in your own individual prayer life, when you're praying, you have these Bible thoughts coming to you, or you have this impression to say, read this passage. Who is that? That's Mr. Holy Spirit. Through your inner man. if we realize how easy it is. You know how some people, when they hear this kind of teaching, they say, oh, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, their ears grow long, like donkeys. And they're expecting some sort of thing like when the Holy Spirit speaks, it has to be thunders rolling, lightning flashing, angels singing, choirs in harmony, earth shaking, hands trembling, legs shaking, that it's the Holy Ghost. It could be as quiet as the inner thought floating out. To help you, we how do you hear their voice? Do you actually hear the devil says, I am the devil. This is what I want you to do. No. You just hear some temptation, right? It comes to you like a thought. That's all. Just, it could be a gentle thought. Now, there are different degrees and strengths of the thought, according to its measure, the loudness of it. And here is where we introduce you a new opening. Our minds were designed not just for the physical soul world. Our minds is at the crossroads of where the spirit realm meets the natural realm. So demon beings and evil spirits, when they try to tempt you and get you to do something, when whatever darts that they throw at you, when it hits you, it doesn't hit you as, you know, something burning on you. It hits you as a thought. When you realize that sometimes our thoughts are from ourselves. Sometimes our thoughts are stray darts from the enemy. But sometimes our thoughts are from the Holy Spirit. So you and I cannot take credit for the good thoughts either. It's Him working in our life. Now some Christians try to differentiate between the thoughts of their human spirit and the Holy Spirit. You don't have to try, because if from the human spirit, it will be in line with the Holy Spirit. And the most important thing is it leads you the right direction to do God's will. Most important thing is to distinctly hear them. When the Lord started showing me about this, see, years ago I was new in the ministry. But when I read the Bible, I knew the most important thing in the ministry was to hear God's voice. If I don't hear God's voice, what makes the difference in the Old Testament? It's because the Old Testament folks can hear God's voice. What was different about those people in the New Testament? They can hear God's voice. And I had a great desire to hear God's voice. And I prayed and prayed, God, teach me what your voice is like. And I know guidance. But it took a long time for God to show me that, like Paul says, you know, God is not far. He's as near as your heart. In your heart and in your mind. That He speaks in these ways. Now I recognize He can speak in audible voice. He can speak with lightning flashing, thunders rolling. He can do all those things. Most of the time, He speaks through the normal means that we hear. And our minds are at the matrix of where spirit, soul and body meet. And it's important to learn to recognize that. And I went through a period, when God started showing me that His voice is like a thought coming to me, I spent the next 1 week writing down every thought that came. And trying to differentiate now, which is mine, which is the enemy, which is God. And it took some time to differentiate it. But through time, you learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. And you learn to recognize when He's speaking. And then begin a new relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I leave you with this introduction to the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He has feelings, and He puts His feelings into you. He is invisible but tangible. You can't contact Him with your physical body, but you can contact him with your spirit man. Sometimes when he's shaking hands with your spirit man, your spirit man feels him shaking hands. And that's where you sense your spirit man. Sometimes he's carrying your spirit man. There are different degrees. And so I can only advise, learn to feel your spirit man. Not your body. Not your physical body or your emotion. But learn to feel your spirit man. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we have a spirit, soul and body. We all are conscious of our body. We all are conscious of our soul. Question, are you conscious of your spirit man? I mean, if it's there, surely you could sense it. And that's why it's important to pray in the spirit, because when you pray in the spirit, you become more conscious of the spirit. It's your spirit that prays. And you develop consciousness there. So that consciousness of the spirit man will help you to feel the Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit. And understanding what his voice is like helps you to hear him and begin to relate to him as a person. Sometimes you make mistakes, that's alright. And remember, the devil is also cunning. He won't come to you and say, "This is the devil." No. If he throws a dart, it has to be Holy Ghost speaking. Holy Ghost speaking. But he tells you the wrong thing. And that's where you need the Word of God. The Word of God. So if somebody says, you know, that I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit tell me to rob a bank, you know it cannot be the voice of God, because thou shalt not steal. It contradicts the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so important. It's our gauge to check the thoughts that flow through our mind. And as long as it's against God's Word, against God's Word's principles in His Word, then you drop it. So this Word doesn't just become a historical Bible of good stories. This Word becomes the filter for the voice. If they pass through this filter, and the more of this you have in your life, the bigger the filter. And you could filter out all the wrong voices, and you could be so sharp that when He speaks, you know that it's Him. Praise God. Let's pray.